Let's open our Bible. This is from page 19, if you have your thick Bible with you, large print Bible. We will read together from Genesis chapter 12, just verses 1 up to verse 9. So let us read it. Genesis 12, verses 1 to 9, page 19. We read together. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord has spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the Terebinth of Moreh. And the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. We stop there. If you have your handouts, you can follow. It will be preached from the handouts. So let us do a quick review before we start our passage today. We talked about the covenant theology, that it helps us to see the unity of the Bible. One plan of God for redemption of His elect. First two chapters, we look at the covenant of works. God commissioned Adam with creation ordinances. We have four of them: fellowship or marriage, procreation, work and dominion, and rest. It's Genesis 3. Man failed. So we have the covenant of grace promised. It's just promised, being told. Then you have Genesis 4 and 5, genealogies, telling the one line, the promised line, and the other line, the Satan's line. Genesis 6, immediately you see increasing sin and corruption on earth. We talk about the flood. We talk about Noah, God's covenant with Noah. But Genesis 9, at the end of the chapter, what happened? Noah sinned. His son sinned. Sin was not eradicated. It's still there. Then Genesis 10, genealogies. Same thing again, like Genesis 1 and 2. But there is progression. We saw that. That the Lord promised. Until the promised seed is here, day and night will never cease. He will see to it that the promised seed will come and bring to completion His plan. Genesis 11, Tower of Babel, more sin. Genealogies. And here we are, Genesis 12, God's covenant with Abram, or Abraham. Our outline is simple. I entitled this sermon, "The Sovereign Call." First, God calls. We see that from the first three verses. And next, Abram responds. See the first three verses. Before we go in, though, let me ask, who is Abram? He's famous today. The Muslims, of course, they claim Abram as their fathers. the Jewish people likewise, and us Christians. So Abraham is a big guy today. If he has Instagram, the follower will be like more than 10,000. Popular guy. But who was he? Unknown. I'll tell you the secret. He was nobody. Worse than that, he was a pagan worshiper. How do I know that? If you check the Bible, you can check with me on your outlines. Just Joshua 24, verse 2 and 3 tells us. Joshua said to all people of Israel, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago, your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates. Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods." Abram was just like people back in the day, worshiping pagan gods, living for his own life, self-seeking, the Bible calls it. But we see in chapter 12 today, Abram becomes somebody because God calls Abram. And who is this God? The Bible printed it as Lord, L-O-R-D, capital letters. But that is actually, what's written there? Yahweh, a very unique name of God, the covenant name of God. This is the only God who created the world, the heaven and the earth. The only God who brings salvation. And he reveals himself in Jesus Christ. So you know, there's Abram, and there's Yahweh who calls Abram. He changes the life of whom he calls. Now the question is, why Abram? If he's just like the rest, why him? Well, honestly, I will say I don't know. But the Bible tells me it is the free good pleasure of God's will. It is for his glory. It is because he wills it. He does whatever he pleases to show his glory, but also to bless humankind, as we will see today. So look at the first three verses that we read today. You see two commands there. It's not very clear, but you can see. The first command is go. The second command is be a blessing. So let's look at the first command. God says go. When you say go, go from where? So leaving behind something. Abram, go from your country, from your family, from your father's house. Okay, I leave that. Where do I go to? So to the land that I, God, will show you. Now, for that command, go from that place to this place, God gives three promises. First, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. We will see that is fleshed out later on as we read the Bible. And we look at the second command. What is that? Go. Be a blessing. And with this also there are three promises entailed. I will bless those who bless you. Him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, look at these three verses alone. We have the word bless 5 times used there. It's just fun fact, but when the Bible is written by God, he has intentions. So you check from Genesis chapter 3, since the fall, up to chapter 11 before this chapter, we also find the word curse used 5 times. Coincidence? You can say so, but I believe every word of the Bible is inspired. And the subtle message being communicated here is that God is on a mission to reverse the curse and bless his people. You can see furthermore in that three verses alone, God will bless those, plural, who bless you, and God will curse him, singular, who curses you. So God loves to bless. A sinful heart, though, never realizes how merciful God is, how kind God is. And we tend to blame God for the curses that we deserve. We blame God. Why does the aeroplane fall? Well, when 10,000 planes do not fall, do you thank God? And you blame God for the one that he allows to fall. Can you see how the world is just twisted? And look at the commandment we just read today. Your God is revenge, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. But they forget the next part. What is it? Showing mercy, showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. When I went for the march, pro-life march, I saw a girl, this stick with me. She held a banner. There are a list of Bible verses saying God is a murderer and genocide and everything. Those are verses I'm not very familiar with, but I know it's in the Bible. So she quoted tons of verses. But this is what our generation is good at. Take out one sentence without context and say, aha, you said this, you are a murderer. You don't see the story, you don't see the context. That's why we also don't want to be like that. When you read the Word of God, take the whole counsel of the Word of God. Don't just take one verse and make up a doctrine. Because Deuteronomy 7:9, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. 3 and 4 generations compared to the 1,000 generations. Why don't you cite this verse? Can you see that? Now I want you to think also about the nations. Developed countries nowadays. Canada, U.S., I should say actually not developed countries, but it's post-Christian countries. You have good welfare, you have good system, good justice and everything, at least better than the developing countries. I tell you, think, where does that come from? Our forefathers loved God. Those who started this, U.S. for example, came from the Puritans. Those who started in England, the church was actually held prominence and they taught the nation. The constitution is based on biblical principles. So, and now we only have what? The trickles, the remaining residues of the blessings. Because God is faithful. You still enjoy the blessing, but the judgment is coming. So I will say, don't take for granted the patience and long sufferings of God. Repent. Well, there is still time. Like the creation ordinances, Abram's blessings would come through obedience to God's word. So you remember that? Fellowship, marriage, be fruitful and multiply, work and have dominion, rest. See the progression. In this chapter, Genesis 12, you see that has become promises. It was a command, but God is now promising that his commands will be fulfilled through Abram, in Abram. So we have seed. What is the promise? Your seed shall be a great nation. What about be fruitful and multiply, have dominion over the land? You will have the promised land, and you will have rest from your enemies. Not just that, you will be blessings to all nations. What a God. For those failure, we are those people. God shows blessings. And that is our God, the God of Abraham. So let's see how Abraham responds. Let's read together his response from your outline, the second page. Genesis 12, verse 4, together. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from here. Now I want you to think. Abraham lived up to 175 years old. I did my math, so 75 is roughly 43% of his total life. For Canadians, roughly it's like our age 35. Imagine at age 35, you have your house, you have your work, your jobs, you have your family and children, and you have to leave, move to a land, not a better land, a land that is owned by another nation. And you have to leave your father's house. What does that mean? Back in the days, even in my country still, people are called Leo bin father's name. So your father's name is really part of you. Oh, that person, the son of that. Maybe here we can still talk about that, but not too often, right? Because we have last names. But that last name actually means that. For Abraham to leave his father's house means what? To forsake his identity. Who am I? I am Abraham, son of Terah. And now you have to leave. I'm Abraham. You don't know my father. I'm son of God. That's all he can say. And Abram at that time did not know where he was going. How do I know that? Hebrews 11 verse 8. Let's read it together. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. Man, that is faith. We know where we need to go, we still worry. How do we go there? But Abraham packed and go. Well, not that simple. We will look at that. But it was not easy for Abram to trust and obey. He was promised a great nation, verse 5. But in reality, he has no son. Wife is barren and old. Verse 6, Abram was promised a land. In reality, he looked at the land of Canaan. There are Canaanites there. What am I doing here? I'm just with me and a couple of people that I have. And there's a nation dwelling in the place that the Lord says will be mine. And then I don't have offspring. All praise to Abraham for following God? Oh, not really. I will tell you the other side of the story, the behind the scenes. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And we can see that's what Abraham did. He denied his identity. He take up his cross, doing the hard thing for him, and he followed where God led him to. And the moment Abraham did that, he saw that God is working. That is the behind the scene. God is working. God plays an active role. Joshua 24:3 gives the other side. Let's read it together. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac. All the Lord's doing. He took him out. He led him out. He made him settle down, give him offspring. Who is to be praised? Yahweh. He works through man so that his name will be glorified. John 10:4 says, when he has brought out all his own, God, Jesus, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. God calls you too. And when God calls, he also walks with us, even before us. You will never walk alone, because the cross is always ever before you. Isn't that a comfort? Your family will leave you, they will die. Your riches will go away. The land will go into war, probably, we don't know. The country can go bankrupt. But my Jesus and his kingdom will only go up. It will only be brought to completion. So God also actively causes his commands to be fulfilled in Abram. Remember the command. Leave your country, leave your family, leave your father's house. Now, this is where I say, look at Abram. Praise to him, not so fast. Abram did leave his country, but with his dad, with his family. How do I know that? You can check in Genesis 11, verse 31. Let's read it together. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Now we know. They went out. Abram followed the commandment partially. And they settled in Haran for a while, for a time. But as I said, God is faithful. So he brings about the separation which he called Abram to do. Terah finally died in Haran. And our verse 5 tells us Abram had people that they had acquired because they stayed there for a while. So they have gathered like slaves, earned slaves and cattle and stuff. This is proving that we are often sluggish in our obedience. We don't obey God with zeal. We know it's good, but we kind of want to dwell or linger a little bit longer. When your heart is sad, sometimes we just choose to not want to be comforted by the Word of God. When you know sin is bad, when you know you do things that destroy your bodies, you want to obey, but you don't do it just yet. We are sluggish. But thanks be to God, he works in our lives to fulfill his callings because he loves us. So Genesis 13 tells us that Abram is finally separated from Lot as well. My point, though, as we walk in obedience, we will see God more clearly. We will see his promises being fulfilled. And we will long to worship him even more. It's a very organic happening in your heart. It just moves forward, like falls naturally, like gravity. So you see in Genesis chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, let's read it together. Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So Abram went to that land finally. And what did you get? God confirmed his promise. "To your offspring I will give this land." And this land, this promise, is fulfilled both literally and spiritually. In history you can see that Shechem, it's the place where Jacob came back safely from Laban. That is the place where Joseph, the son of Jacob, after he went to Egypt, finally the bones came back to this place and is buried there. That place is where Joshua and the nation Israel renewed their commitment to God. In the New Testament, Shechem is known as Sychar. This is where Jesus met and saved the Samaritan woman. And a lot from the city was saved too. Spiritually, you can read in Romans 4, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord is called the children of Abraham. This Lord, again, is the Lord Yahweh, not any other Lord. These people of God are to inherit the whole world with Christ as king. So back to that promise, it is not just Jerusalem. It is not just Israel. Those Zionist movement and everything, they have very skewed, limited understanding. God will rule over this world. He will have dominion over this whole world. Heaven and earth will be his. So we pray for that. That's why we go and preach to every end of the world. But until then, I want us to remember too, the world is our temporary tent. As we pilgrim through, We build altars and call upon the name of the Lord. See the contrast? Tent is very temporary, but altar, usually made of stone, is more permanent. So Abram knew, my place will be temporary. But even in this temporary place, the name of the Lord will forever dwell here. And when you call upon the name of the Lord, that refers to public worship. Among the Canaanites, the pagan worshipers, Abram worshiped the Lord. Churches of God, where are we? I hope we are brave enough, we trust the Lord enough to worship, live our life as the true worship and offering. Therefore, Hebrews 11, verses 9 to 10 tells us, let's read it together. By faith, Abraham went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. He did not see that city in his lifetime. He died still in tents. His next generation is exiled, moved to Egypt. But Abram believed in the word of the Lord. Today, God is calling us too. Yahweh calls us to go and be a blessing. Go away from your sins. Go away from your misery. Go away from the earthly and temporary pleasures. Go run to Jesus, where you find eternal life, the fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore. Live to be a blessing for everyone, especially the household of faith, the church. Now, people tend to say, oh yeah, I obey the first part, I go, follow, but I don't really live as a Christian yet. I don't really sacrifice my life. Excuse me, my catechism tells me that genuine repentance or true conversion involves two things. Let's read it together. What is involved in genuine repentance or conversion? Two things together. The dying away of the old self and the rising to life of the new life. I hope this is what our repentance is like. I hope we come to follow the Lord, because He goes out and He blesses nations who call upon Him. Are we also following Him to be a blessing for nations? And churches, we will be strong. We will be blessed if we live up the calling that God gives us. To call upon the Lord. To call the world so that they call upon Christ. Will you die to your old self and rise to your new self? The journey will be hard. It will be messy. It's a pilgrimage. You don't have first-class hotel style. It's living in tents. And Genesis 12, 15, 16, 17, those chapters show us Abram's weak faith, sin, but God is faithful through and through. He will never hang up. If He calls you, He will never hang up on those who call on Him. So call upon Jesus. He promised you. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Will you come and call upon His name? Let us respond to His call before it's too late. The true Yahweh, the true God, is only found in Jesus Christ. This is the God of Abraham. Call upon His holy name. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You that You are the God who faithfully calls upon us, upon Your people. Thank You that You give salvation so free. And even though we are so stubborn and sinful,
You keep on calling us. Help us to not grow desensitized from you, but help us to run even more eagerly to you, responding to your call and living for you, not like those who are self-seeking anymore, but those who live for the Lord. Teach our church to be a blessing for nations, for people around us, even for one another within the church. Oh, Father, we are weak and we are slow to obey. We are sluggish in our response. So help us to be patient with one another, but also work in our hearts that we may, as a church, live up to our calling, take up our cross, and follow you. For there is no other place that is more pleasurable, that is more safe and secure than in the presence of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.